Mr. Chalmers, Reel 2, we were talking about your time with 165 Octu in Dunbar between October 41 and March 42. What were the instructors like at, or the NCO instructors, or officer instructors at Dunbar?
Well, they Sergeant Major Murdo Grant of the Cameron Islanders, a very fierce individual. But his usage was double march, and so we spent a great deal of time running about and bar. And there was something about him that was rather attractive, and I know when we left the company, we made a small presentation to him. And I remember at the end, he said, yes, yes. Well, it's very kind of you. Double march. Then at the main company, we were drilled by a guardsman, a company, a regimental sergeant major, Tombs of the Grenadier Guards, in Dunbar Winds, I suppose one had to. Or one's forage cap rather low down on one's head, which he disapproved of. And I remember him addressing him, you with a funny that looks like a Russian soldier, sir. And I realised that sir can be a very insulting word.
And what about which unit were you going to be commissioned into? Or perhaps that's jumping the gun. Was there an examination at the end of it, or that you had to pass, or were you continuous assessment?
One was constantly under threat of being put down into unit, PTU'd. One always tried to avoid that. I think only one rather introverted individual was, in fact, sent back. Otherwise, you passed or failed, unfortunately. And I remember I did have an interview. I put down the Royal Scots and the Camels as being my main choice.
Now, why those two?
Well, the Royal Scots was the local regiment, and quite a few of my friends joined them. I was,
why was that?
Because those who I did know pretty well straight to Singapore and were caught by the Japs at the outbreak of the Japanese War, and some of them didn't survive that. The Camerons, I thought I'd have more chance of the Royal Scots, but the Camerons wasn't basically I rather fancied a Kilty Highland regiment, and was interviewed by Major General Wimberley, I think, who subsequently commanded the unit in Europe. He was completely civil, and I was, in fact, commissioned in the Camerons, but posted to the 1st Battalion Liverpool Scottish, which by then was a satellite of the Camerons.
Yes, they were no longer part of the King's Liverpool Regiment.
They had been, but I think they had been killed in the First War. They had definitely become a separate entity in the King's Liverpool, and by the Second War were certainly part of the 79th of the Cameron Islanders.
Now, where were you to join them at?
They were then at Burrowridge on the Great North Road, and I received a telegram from the adjutant telling me to get forward starting and not Cameron. So that I was from then on instead of what I once injudiciously called a narrow street to a garden. He put it a garden side calls.
This tartan, it was a kilted, what tartan did you have with you? In fact, what kit did you buy as an officer then?
Well, I had to buy kilt and shoes and service dress jacket or kilts, of course, Sam Brown's, and pretty much really what I suppose people had worn in the First War and in between.
Did your kitting out allowance cover it? Because there's sometimes complaints that the money you were given to cover that didn't cover it.
Not quite, but they had an arrangement whereby one, I think, got £18.05 advance of pay, and that was equivalent to a shilling a day, so thereafter, instead of getting 11 shillings a day, one got 10 shillings a day. And I think...
Did you get the stuff like a washstand and things like that, an officer's kit as well, or, or any special kit?
A washstand, I think, was actually issued. And a camp bed, I think. I can't quite remember that. But they were very much... standard issue then, and I don't think one had to pay for them. I'm not sure.
Now, what was your reception on joining the First Liverpool Scottish at Borough Bridge?
Well, very friendly, really. Our mess was in the centre of Borough Bridge, and I was out that our company was in the grounds, I think, of the very near church. It was about a few hundred yards away.
Which company were you put in? It's all right, no problem. So how did they receive you as an officer? I mean, both in the mess and then with your company. How did they sort of take you in?
In the mess, actually, I suppose when we arrived, that actually went with another yards away from here. It was 228656. It had been Brown by his surname was Brown, and alphabetically, I was. 228658. And when we arrived, we came together by train to Borough Bridge and was greeted by the duty sergeant, who was in fact an old classmate of mine from school. So that it was a small voyage. And that he introduced me to everyone, and it was very friendly.
What was the mess like? Was it a battalion mess or a company mess?
We had a battalion mess at that time in this old hotel. And I think
could you tell us about how the officers' mess ran at that time? You know, I mean, what did it provide for you, and how formal was it? I mean, at this stage.
All meals were provided, and that meant that, in fact, if one were late for breakfast and tried to run through the Borough Bridge to get the mess, there were quite a few ETS girls in the Borough Bridge, and they always made a point of saluting one when one was running through the Borough Bridge. They had lunch and dinner. Occasional
So normally it would be informal, and you just eat.
Pretty informal.
And what was the food like? Any good or?
It wasn't at all bad. The food at the bar had been pretty basic, but at the same time, one was usually so hungry that it didn't matter. But it was really quite well, certainly sustaining. Very much better than than one living as a civilian at that time. In Barrowbridge, we had quite reasonable cooks, and as I say, occasional guest nights.
Now, what were the guest nights like? I mean, were they formal, or what
formal,
were they?
But being in the Highland Regiment, it usually ended up with forced morris and reels. And I had done a bit of country dancing before. This was rather fun.
Who would be invited to a guest night?
Usually the brigadier. I think we occasionally had one. We have had some links with civilians.
Well, I mean, would officers' girlfriends be allowed in, or?
No, I think not. It was very much a Italian occasion.
So, well, although it's a guest night, there would be only a few guests, you know, a couple of guests.
Yes.
What about mess games? People always hear about, you know, regimental mess games and a bit of liveliness in the mess. Was there much of that?
Not so much then, I think. No. Of course, I wasn't. I suppose I was with them from the end of March till not quite the end of May. And I can't remember
So what about drinking? I mean, the officers' messes seem to be in various grades of drinking, from almost alcoholics to people who to almost teetotal.
Yeah.
Were you aware of different grades in drinking, and did you drink yourself?
No, I didn't actually. My parents had been very recently teetotal, but that wasn't treated as well. There were quite a lot who were pretty similar. I think I may occasionally have had a glass of port or a lot of toast and so on, but it was I can't remember.
You didn't get lumbered, I mean, with a large mess bill then?
Mess bills were quite manageable. That one, the risk of carrying very large.
How would you get on with your senior officers, the majors and the colonel, in the mess? I mean, how were you expected to treat them, and how did they treat you?
Well, that actually was rather attractive. I suppose one was always conscious that they were senior officers, but on the whole, they were a very reasonable lot. I liked most of them.
Were there any regulars in there, or that you'd notice a difference with how they've?
There were some regulars, mainly territorials, but
were many of them from Liverpool? I mean,
somewhere, yes. I think when it might have been, company commander and second in command were both in Liverpool. They at least had been working in Liverpool. One was certainly, I think, originally from Croatia and so on, but quite prosperous Liverpool shipping company, especially to meet with that.
Now, how did you get on with your men? Because this would be your first time you've had.
Yes. Well, again, they were quite a few of them. The NCOs and so on were old territorials.
How'd you get on with the NCOs? I mean, you were a very inexperienced officer. I mean, would they help you, or were they?
They were helpful. Yes, I don't remember any brushes at all with them. It really was a very happy. The unit.
And the men? What did you think of them?
Well, they were fine, really. We were very much conscious that it was a unit which was not likely to feature as a unit in action. It was by this time very much finding charts for mainly camels, I suppose. There was a strong core which had been with the unit from certainly the outbreak of war and before that, probably as well as it was. But I can't really remember any major rushes or any ones whom I particularly disliked at all.
Now, anything particular happened? You were there. We were only with them a couple of months. So anything particular happened while you were with them?
Occasional exercises over Lobbenhausen's Moor.
What were they like?
Interesting and fairly strenuous. I remember doing under a creeping barrage, really first war stuff. I remember being somewhat annoyed when the gunners depressed instead of raising their sights so that the shells became rather close in front of us. But it was really quite reasonable training most of the time.
Now, how did you come to leave? Because I believe you volunteered for overseas. You saw something. If you could tell us the story.
Yes.
About
we had a fairly enlightened adjutant who, if one were the officer and he wasn't there, she would not have said to function the adjutant. I remember there came a request, a signal saying that an officer would be required for service with African troops. They suggested that one should be chosen who might be quite capable of the chase and who could perhaps be viewed as capable of coping with African troops. I noticed that and thought, well, that would be rather nice. And in fact, although I hadn't commented on it, the next day I was told by the adjutant that they were putting my name forward for this. I was then, I found I was entitled to a fortnight
certification. So did you volunteer, or did they just assigned you to it anyway?
I suppose that if I'd raised violent objections, I would have had to do it. But no, I didn't strictly volunteer for that. But I was, as I say, very happy to have been chosen for it. I had links with Africa. I had an aunt who was a missionary in West Africa, and I'd always been interested in Livingston and had read quite a bit about him and so on. So the idea that it might be Africa was rather attractive. They didn't in fact mention the place, but I think at some time suggested that a knowledge of Swahili would be useful, so if one didn't really have to do much deduction then to realise that it was the gay
Now, what about you had what about preparation? You had embarkation leave. Did you do anything special on your embarkation leave, or just go home?
I went home. Really. I went back to my tailors and got drill uniform.
So kitting out with tropical kit.
Yes.
What sort of kit? What was tropical kit or African service kit at that time? Anything special, or was it just the lighter cut?
Pretty much the lighter cut, really. Yes. I don't think that one had anything special. People did. I remember being presented with a bit of red flannel, which I was told would be very useful for spine baths.
Was that given you officially, or given you that by a friend?
By a friend.
Because that had fallen out of use long before.
Indeed, yes. And in fact, when we were, or we should with two bees, singularly unpleasant. We don't think I would have put them on, but usually one didn't. But certainly we got rid of the two bees as soon as possible.
Were you given any, before you went, any lectures in what life would be like, things like how to deal with African troops, disease, that sort of thing, climate?
No. I was merely really instructed to appear kicking out from the tropics, I think. Central and this was, of course, my first scheme of my own in London, so there was an awful lot that one wanted to see, but very much on a day to day basis. We never knew when we would be departing.
Now, what happened when you reported to Hotel Central Marylebone Road? That would be in May, wouldn't it?
June. Yes, I travelled over there for a little bit and had a walk around London morning and afternoon, and then discovered that there were two drafts, if I remember rightly. One on A.S.A. Prime, which I was, which was meant to be for active infantry, but on A.S.A.Y.K., which was more for rather older chaps who were going for definitely garrison duties. But then we got there, and we felt that it would be rather useful to be given some instruction in language and so on. But
so no briefing.
We had on our draft one or two people who had actually been in the tropics. We had a southern Rhodesian policeman and somebody who had been born in southern Rhodesia and who in fact knew a bit of Swahili, so that when we got onto the boat, we among ourselves tried to organise a bit of language training. But that, I think, could have been much better planned. When we left to London.
So, what happened at the hotel? So, you'd given your told which batch you were in. Did anything else happen there?
We were supposed to parade for a physical training in Regent Park every morning, but we didn't. If you answer your name, nobody actually worried very much at that time whether you went on to do the physical training or not. So everyone saw what was still to be seen in the British Museum and sort of the things that one would want to do on a first trip to London. And we did then find that our absence had been noted, and we had a compulsory run through Regent's Park on the Sunday morning. But apart from that, there was really nothing. So long as one kept in touch and was ready to go actually in short notice.
Now, what about the journey out?
Well, we went out overnight to Liverpool and embarked on the Stirling Castle and remained. I suppose the ship got filled up pretty soon, and we spent about a night, a day or two in the Mersey, which obviously had taken the country around about had taken a tremendous battering from bombs. Half a ship got towed up past us, so on, so one was aware that it was a bit competitors, perhaps.
What were conditions like aboard the Stirling Castle for you as an officer?
Very reasonable. I shared what would have been a single cabin before the war with another subaltern from the Lord. And really, it was remarkably comfortable. We had some grades every morning, I suppose, mainly like Montreal. And otherwise, we called in a cruise captain. We were part of a convoy of some, oh, I suppose there must have been at least a dozen liners, all like Stirling Castle, 25,000 tons or so. We had a battleship, the Malaya, and I think one of five destroyers as convoy. And that was it was actually at night, sometimes very, very beautiful. The ships cutting through the tropics and leaving a wake of mile behind of the essence, I suppose. And it could be very attractive. And of course, on a prearranged pattern, all ships, all the passenger ships would turn. And it really was rather fascinating. You could spend a very agreeable time at night. There were one or two occasions when the convoy split up and we all went as fast as we could in individual directions, which I suppose meant that there was a risk that there had been an enemy somewhere in the air. And we called it a free time, and then I realised that from the pipes that we could hear from other ships that we had the 51st Division with us on the convoy. We'd see them battering through Borough Bridge before I left there. But otherwise, one didn't know very much about the other ships. We had a battalion of Yorkshire Knights aboard, and otherwise we were pretty much drafts of reinforcements, I suppose. Then that took us to Durban, and at Durban, they said, unfortunately, they hadn't room enough in their officers' transit camp, so we got billeted at a hotel on the waterfront, the Hotel Louis, and we were there for almost a fortnight, and that was a very agreeable time.
How did they treat you, you know, the South African civilians? And
well, Durban, of course, was very much the English part of South Africa. I'm not conscious of any anti-British feeling there. And I think we got known as imperial officers. And on the whole, one was rather much aware of colour bar and so on. I think that was something that we, coming from Britain, we were much more liberal in our attitudes, I think. And sometimes you felt that